Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Too proper for the black kid, too black for the Mexican, too square to be a hood. What's normal anyway? Too opinionated for the pacifist, too out of touch to be in style, too broke for the rich kid. I don't know what normal is. What's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? I mean, what's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? I'm in a crowd and I feel alone. I look around and I feel alone. I never feel like I belong. I wanna feel like I belong. For the Christians, but too moral for the cutthroat, too far out for the in crowd. What's normal anyway? Too involved in my own life, spend time with my family, too concerned about what others think. What's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? I mean, what's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? What's normal anyway? In the crowd and I feel alone. And I feel alone. I never feel like I belong. I wanna feel like I belong. Somewhere. Somewhere. I never feel like I belong. I wanna feel like I belong.
Powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, Twin Living God, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine blessing and reminder of the time and the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, twitter.com/Hiram1555, facebook.com/Hiram1555, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Now, my beloved family, I thank you again for joining us, but I have to say a few things before we start our show. How far down the rabbit hole does American NATO terror operations go? I was beset with a lot of troubles this morning. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do the show. Had to rush my daughter to the hospital. Also, at the same time, isn't it ironic how the devil is? He's messing with the phone lines that we use to do this show. Not one, but two phone lines. The service that we have for those phone lines, you're supposed to get repaired within 24 hours, but they're putting us off to Saturday evening. So I'm using a cell phone because for those of you who are not, who don't know that we have to use phone lines to broadcast our shows, regardless of what kind of phone lines it is. So you'll hear a lot of crackling and going in and going out, but I couldn't let this show be pushed to the back burner because of part one and how we went through about the Paris false flag attack. This is part two of that with a different title. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit and refresh your memory about what we were talking about on the last show, and we were specifically talking about time. And if you are in loss, and if you don't understand the time, you will, all of these events that are taking place, you know, will be aired on your face because you're not understanding why they're taking place, what to do, and what to do next, and how to prepare for the next event. Right? This is a connect the dot kind of thing. In the theology of time, the most powerful lecture ever given to any man at any time, in any place, according to white scholars themselves, who stated that the theology of time that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the most prolific lecture on science, philosophy, mathematics, history, anthropology, and religion ever given by any man. This includes all of the men who preceded him, according to the white scholars. In this lecture, the theology of time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, our subject is the theology of time. We are still working on time. We want to take hold of the real root of time. This has been our subject for many years. It is what we've been looking for. What you've been looking for is the time of judgment. If you've been looking for the time of judgment, this is just what we are preaching, the time. When you're looking at the situation that is blowing up in the Middle East, this did not come in a vacuum. This is not something that just happened because ISIL just so happened to put a bomb or shoot out people in Paris. This was foreplanned by the false flag operations team of America and NATO. What's so amazing about this is the majority of you don't take the time to read into what you see in the news. As I was looking at a headline, it was talking about France deployed. Listen to this, good. The French naval group heading to Syria sends a sub on patrol in the Mediterranean, but they didn't name what type or what was the name of that sub. Yes, it probably is a nuclear sub. Now, but listen, ISIL doesn't have a navy. ISIL doesn't have submarines. So what is the use of them sending submarines? What is the use of an entire naval group? Listen to this, good black man and black woman. Because what we're seeing is a build-up for war, not on ISIL itself. But this is a clash of civilizations. They said this. They use ISIL to represent Islam when it is not Islamic in any way, shape, form, or fashion. ISIL was, is, and is promoted by the Christian West. It is under the influence, the guidance, the training, the manipulation of the Western intelligence services to defame Islam in the day of your salvation. The British said that they were going to send a destroyer, or their most advanced destroyer, to work in tandem with the French naval vessel, which is an aircraft carrier that's already there. America is now saying the U.S. is prepared to do more on the ground against ISIL. But all of them keep pointing to Syria. None of them are talking about Iraq. ISIL is in Iraq, too. ISIL is in Nigeria, where they had one of the most horrific bombings ever taking place yesterday. Right? You didn't hear the world cry out about, well, Nigerians, now did you? There was no 24-hour blanket coverage of the ISIL attacks, the Boko Haram attacks in Nigeria, a booming and bustling African economy. Why? Because they have strategic plans first. And the media is not a free media. It is the propaganda organ of the empire. Or as the Bible teaches us, the Bible calls it, the scribes. S-C-R-I-B-E-S. Scribes. The writers or the journalists of that day were controlled by the government of that day. And so too is it today. So what we're seeing is a great build-up for why. See, I have to break these things down first, brothers and sisters, so we can go into it a little bit. Now, it is no coincidence America now is up in her budget. She is putting in more draconian laws, the same as going to all of the NATO nations, right? Prior to this, there was an opposition to going into Syria. There was an opposition into going into North Africa. There was an opposition of continuing to maintain a presence in Afghanistan and a presence in Iraq. But the latest poll shows that 65 or 68% of Americans now support a ground operation. Everything that America and Great Britain and France and all of the other nations tried to do failed big time until this thing got 24-hour blanket coverage. Now, the budget cuts for NATO have been reversed. The deployment of warships and war material in and around Syria and around North Africa has been growing steadily by the hour. What is this telling us? Well, let's go to Fall of America. In Fall of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad puts it like this. And the title of the chapter is called The Day of America's Downfall. But it has a subtitle in there called Doomed Prophesied. And this subtitle gives us an insight of what we should expect right here and right now. And it says, one of the prophets of the Bible prophesied in regard to America, as the morning spreads abroad upon the mountains, a great and strong people set in battle array. Joel 2:2. This is the setting of the nations for a showdown to determine who will live on earth. The survivor is to build a nation of peace to rule the people of the earth forever, under the guidance of Almighty God alone. Now, well, the white man has been in power for the last 6,000, rather the 4,000, he's been totally dominant for the last 4,000 years. Has he ever been able to bring about peace, global peace? According to his own history, he has never been. He's always been at war. So if the winner of this war that everybody's building up for, it's to build a world that everybody can live in peace, then that means the peace breakers, the mischief makers, and the war stokers must be removed. And we can see who makes the wars, who prosecutes the wars, who decides policy, who is unjust, who sanctions people. Well, it is not these people whom they're bombing right now. It is the people who are doing the bombing. So the Bible in Joel gives us a signal to look at what is taking place so that we can understand the relevance of time. How far down the rabbit hole does American and NATO terror operations go? I want to try to play as many clips as I can and bring them to the forefront with theology and prophecy so that you can understand that this is a war for you, black man and black man, black woman, a war on your mind. Why is it now so vital for the white nations to prosecute these wars of aggression and to label everything Islamic demon and demonize it or label it bad? And then on the other hand, they'll say, well, it's not about Islam and it's not about Christianity. And every time you look around, the Islamic terrorist. Now, a white man who's a Christian can go in and blow up something, right? But they never put the color, they never put the religion. When a white man goes into the movie theater and he kills these people, or when he goes in someone's house and slits the woman and the children's neck, they just say that a murder took place. But anything that may involve Islam in the least bit, even if it's safe, they have to attribute it to Islam itself and Muslim. This is how the devil does. He inundates your mind. He inundates your mind with all this stuff, breaking down your resistance to his propaganda. And before you know it, you become a tool of his propaganda, thinking that you have black power, thinking that you're understanding everything that's going on when you're being indoctrinated subliminally with Eurocentric values and Eurocentric mind and the Eurocentric thought and culture. A lot of us got that bad. But look, we'll play a few clips. We'll see where this goes. And we'll try to get, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3. We have 40-some minutes here. We'll try to get as many clips as we can in because I want you to understand what's actually going on in the Middle East. I'm going to play a couple clips from the last show that we didn't get a chance to play. And then we'll go to some newer clips that will give you a deeper insight of where we are and why you see these things taking place. And you're going to realize that Elijah Muhammad is the best friend that you can have in this day and time because he has been the Rosetta Stone. He's told us all these things. Before I go to that, let me say this. A brother and a sister wrote me, and a brother, you know, we appreciate the show. You have a deep understanding of all of these events that's taking place. And I said to myself, thank you, but I would be derelict of my duty to not mention that all I'm doing is restating what the messenger said. I'm not bringing nothing new to the table. I'm just laying it out there for you and showing it to you in real time. That's it. If you dig into the teaching, honestly, and dedicate yourself, you can do it too. There's nothing new that I'm telling you that was not revealed by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And all I am doing is showing you this in real time because we are now at that moment of the fulfillment of a lot of the things that he had spoken of in the 50s and 60s. And the time is elapsing so fast between one event to the next event that if you don't stay focused and you don't stay watching, you'll be lost in all of this stuff and the chaos will overcome you and you'll be swept away just like the white world is being swept away. Listen to these clips, black man and black woman. I want you to pay close attention. And we'll see where we can go from here. We'll go back to one. I think I played this one. And then we'll go from there.
Now, of course, DHS is out there. And they had to throw their 2 cents into this whole thing, along with the FBI saying that, oh, they have no information about this whatsoever. They didn't even hear about this attack coming. They had nothing at all. Here in the States, they're saying, we're hearing no chatter or anything or any credible threats that something might happen here in the United States. And we know that DHS is absolutely worthless. They're not there to detect terrorism because they're all part of the false flag system. And DHS is really put into place to control the American people. Now, the second part of this is they need to make a link to make sure everyone understands where all of these people have come from. And of course, just like in 9/11, they found a Syrian passport next to one of the dead bodies. Now, of course, as you know, if you are a terrorist You normally carry all your identification all over you, and you always make sure that you drop it in the proper area, which makes no sense. Now, they're saying that these were refugees that came into the country. So they're building this up that the Islamic State is intermingled with these refugees. Now, the question is, they come in there, they're refugees. They have guns, they have bombs, they have suicide belts. They have everything ready to go inside the country. The question is, where'd they get this? Second of all, France has a very strict gun laws on the book, on the books. So the question is, where are they getting all this stuff if you believe the official story? And of course, we don't believe the official story. So what we are seeing right now is that they're trying to link Syria with the Islamic State, and this is an act of war. And we can see already most of the countries, the private Western Central Bank countries, are out there saying this is an horrific scene, this is an act of war, and they are building this up on purpose. Now, what's very interesting about all this, and this is caught on video, I have it on the X22Report.com. If you're on YouTube, you can see it there. Inside the Bataclan halls, there was a man with a backpack who was roaming the halls in this area. And we know how all of these things are put together. It's always a special op team that comes in and does all the dirty work, and then they remove themselves afterwards. We've seen this done many, many times. Now, they need to push the fear factor as high as they possibly can, because you have to remember, Europe, they do not want a war. The people of Europe do not want a war, because if there is a war, it's going to be fought right there. And they already have seen World War I, World War II. And in the U.S., the people are not for war right now. There's been a Gallup poll, and right now 53% of Americans are saying, you know something, they are completely opposed of sending U.S. ground troops into Syria. Now, the U.S. knows this. They're not getting any traction on the authorization for war. Actually, Congress won't even touch it because we know elections are coming up, and they don't want to say they voted for it or voted it down. So they're just leaving it alone and letting the president do whatever he wants, as they normally do. And Obama has come out and said this is an attack on all of us. Once again, he says, we've seen an outrageous attempt to terrorize innocent civilians. This is an attack not just on Paris, not just on the people of France, but this is an attack on all of humanity and the universal values that we share. He's trying to bring all the people together to go to war. Because this is how it's done. They can't say we need to go to war because the central bank is going to collapse and we have to fight for the paper and ink. They have to scare the people into doing things they normally wouldn't do. And this is what's happening right now. So John Kerry is on France 24 declaring war on Syria, saying everyone needs to join the fight inside Syria and get Assad. This is why this is happening. Do you see what they're doing right now? The goal is always the same. He's calling for war and to remove Assad in 6 months. Now, while all of this was going on, in the morning of Friday, November 13th, on France Info Radio, Paris EMTs were prepared in this area, and they're saying, as luck would have it, because they were involved in an exercise to train for multi-site attacks on the morning of Friday. Now, we know we normally see drills and exercises going on right before a false flag event. And this fits into the puzzle. October 29th, CIA Director Brennan met with a few people. Chief John Sawyers from UK MI6, French Directorate for External Security, Bernard Bajoulet, I don't know if I pronounce his name right, and former Israeli National Security Advisor Yaakov Amador. This was done before this attack. This whole thing was planned, because you have to ask yourself an important question. Why France? Why would they go to France? Think about this. Russia is in Syria. Russia has been bombing the Islamic State. If you believe the official story, they're a bunch of terrorists, right? They've been pushing them back. They've pushed them out of Aleppo, Deir al-Zer, and they keep pushing them east. The Free Syrian Army is deserting, breaking apart, and they're losing ground, and the Syrian army is making a huge amount of ground in Syria, taking over all those areas that were occupied by the Islamic State. The United States and the coalition forces have pretty much been sitting on the sidelines. But the Islamic State decided to go after France. Does this make any sense whatsoever when Russia has been forcing them out of Syria? No, it doesn't make any sense. The only reason they did this is to create an event to scare Europe and the United States into going into Syria, because this is all they had left. They're not just going to go into Syria. They're going to be going into the rest of the Middle East. They've already started in Libya. Now remember, by doing this, and as they keep saying, it's an act of war, and they've done this in France. France is part of NATO. One of the agendas is to bring the NATO troops into the Middle East and into Syria to take control once again and to remove Assad. Now, if all this doesn't work, if they can't get the people to go along with this, we will see other events to push this war even harder. I know there's tweets going around that London is next, Washington is next. The next time around, it is going to be much, much worse.
Isn't it ironic that everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the people couldn't understand when he was speaking it back in the 60s, we see it now happening today? And how he talked about that little, at the time when he spoke about Libya, as I said on the last show, Libya was the poorest nation on earth, and America was the so-called richest and most powerful nation on earth. And when he spoke about Libya playing a part in the fall of America, it went over the Negro head. He couldn't fathom that. And now you see them, they're being forced. We told you this years ago, they would be forced back there. And look what happened. They're being forced back there. Now, what is all of this about? According to the scriptures, God is forcing these nations to North Africa, to the Mediterranean, to the Middle East, to Central Asia, that area right there, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, because the Mediterranean is not only North Africa and the Middle East, the Mediterranean is also Southern Europe. This is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And God is pleading with them to let his people, talking about first the so-called American Negro, go. Because they have a stranglehold on us economically and spiritually and mentally and even physically. They have these strangleholds, and God is saying, let them go. As the Bible prophesied that he would do. The book says that he would put hooks in their jaws, right? And now, you see the buildup for war, right what we told you, and what did this white man just tell you? Because it's not just going to be a war in Syria. It will be a regional war. And this thing will metastasize, and it will jump borders. And from the Near East, which is the Middle East and North Africa, it will spread and will go over to Asia. And that was China will put a spanking on America unlike anything she's seen before and run out of Asia. All while this is going on, you smiling at the games and the fights and everything. and not seeing that America has upgraded her nuclear weapons in Europe. She didn't upgrade them in the Middle East. She upgraded them for Europe. Why? This white man told you. Because they feel if war breaks out, he said, it's going to be fought in Europe. That's what he told you. Isn't that what we have been telling you for the last couple of years? No. That war, that when God and Magog truly say so, will take place on the European continent. But right now, you see the Europeans putting all of their weapons in there. And their mightiest of arms there. But as I was telling Brother Rashid and I were talking last night, I said, Brother, that devil, Vladimir Putin, he is sharp. That devil is sharp. So he uses the same reasoning that the West is trying to use to build up his might of arms. He sent more warships. He sent listen to this. He sent nuclear strategic bombers to Syria. That's a demonstration of Russia's power to the West, not to overstep their boundaries. This is what he's showing them. He's saying, listen, not only do we have capable fighters there, because these accidents, brothers and sisters, listen, these are no accidents. When Russia leaked on television their nuclear submarine bomb or missile or whatever to show America that we can get you, when Russia leaked some classified information that the West jumped on, and then just yesterday in a TV interview, they leaked that they had ground troops prepared already in Syria that was ready to go to war. These things are not happening on accident. Notice these leaks come as America and NATO continues their build-up in their rhetoric over Assad. Listen to me good. Allah set this thing up so beautifully. See, even if Russia wanted to tuck tail and run, she can't. Because if she gives up Syria, she gives up the two bases outside of the Black Sea, outside of the former Soviet Union, which is in Tartus and Latakia, or Latakia, Syria, these two naval facilities. These are her only port facilities outside of the former Soviet Union. And America knows this. That's why they are unrelenting in their push to overthrow Assad. They want to push Russia back across the Bosphorus, up into the Black Sea. And if they can push Russia back across the Bosphorus into the Black Sea, they can neuter Russia's nuclear potential and then break Russia's rise and stranglehold, put a stranglehold over her, then balkanize her and take her resources. They're trying to beat back prophecy. They're trying to overcome what the prophet said when Gog and Magog must sally forth. They're trying to prevent the reemergence of Russia. All of this is in a nutshell. Russia has too much to lose. Now, I want to say something to you, because we sometimes, common sense is so simple that we fail to comprehend it when we're seeing it. Now, Syria is a natural ally of Russia. And they have been for a while, for I think 30, 40 years. Now, you have America and NATO, their allies. If Iran were to go and start importing terrorists, let's say, France, do you think that NATO would allow that? If Iran says, we need a bombing raid on France, we're not going to hit the government, we're just going to bomb the terrorists there that we sent in there. Do you think the NATO organization would allow that? Well, what makes America think that Russia will allow that to happen without blowback effect for what they're doing to Russia's allies? Do you see this? See, what I'm saying to you is this. This is America's thinking. This is NATO's thinking. We are the exception to the rule. Yes, prophecy is true, except when it corresponds to us. We are that exceptional nation, that exceptional organization that can even overcome the Lord of the world. That's the perversion of thought being given over to a reprobate mind, because they think of themselves more highly than they should. So God has fed them a healthy dose, what we would call geopolitical inebriation. They're drunk of what they used to be. Well, let's turn to something. We gotta play these clips real quick because I want you to see exactly where we're coming from with this. Here we go with another clip. The blog talk.
Well, talk a little bit about this new paper that you have at the end of the interview. But there's so much to it that I've got notes and notes and notes. It's 140 pages long. But I want to focus in on the war aspect that you go into detail here, which I think you're going to be writing a lot about in the future. But I want to start with the peg of the missile test off the coast of California. Now, a lot of people are very worried about that, and you say, "Whoa, you know why they did it. You suspect why they did it. Why did they fire these missiles off the coast of California? What's happening?"
Well, they're firing them in the direction of China. But what's so amazing about this is, you know, the ocean is a vast place. They could have chose anywhere to launch these missiles from, and instead they launched them right next to a metropolitan area. So really they're sending a message to the people in the United States more so than they're sending a message to the people in China. It's definitely not directed at Russia, but what the government wants you to see is that the U.S. is this big, powerful military strength type of country. It's a control of the world. The reserve currency is worth something because we're a strong military power. And really, on a conventional sense, the emperor has no clothing. And this use of a last resort weapon, the demonstration of it, is a sign of impotence. It's a sign of impotence. If you remember the Iraq War, the second Iraq War, there was a turn of events where the U.S. got stalled and they had sort of this thunder run which ran into Baghdad, and it was against all conventional wisdom to do this. And that turned the war around. I mean, the U.S. would have eventually won a war of attrition, but they had sort of this attrition phase in Iraq. Eventually we left, similar to Vietnam. We're sort of in the strategic hamlets in Baghdad. Eventually we left. We just gave up. But the U.S. military as a land force is not equipped to fight China. And as a naval force, for the most part, it's obsolete. So what the masters of the universe have done, the generals in the military industrial complex have done, is they've said, look, this is what we have. We are a great and vast power. We have nuclear submarines. We have ballistic missiles. And they're saying that not only to the people of China, they're saying that as a propaganda piece to the United States, the domestic people. Similar, we talked about Jade Helm several months ago, and I said on a macro basis it didn't mean very much, but that's also a demonstration of force to the domestic people of the country. It's not a show of meaningful, credible military force or protection. We can even secure our border with Mexico, and that's how anemic the U.S. military is. The boondoggle, all the money that you put into the military, has gone off to these welfare companies, you know, like your Lockheed Martin, to your General Dynamics. And even if you look at the aid to Israel, you know, let's say $3 billion is going to Israel, all that money is cycling back to these defense contractors, and they're building all these boondoggles, you know, the F-35. They're going to be useless.
That's a disaster. Everything I've read about the F-35 is a disaster.
It's a disaster, and what you have now is the world is getting ready for war. The smart people are getting ready for war. You have Japan, for the first time since World War II, building an aircraft. It's a commercial aircraft. It's a Mitsubishi aircraft. What other aircraft did Mitsubishi make in World War II, Greg? Do you remember? Was the starts with a number?
It's a zero.
The zero.
It was it was cheap. It was fast. Very maneuverable, super, more maneuverable than our planes, and they had a lot of them.
Exactly, and the same thing, you know, there's a company called Textron in the United States, and they're building a cheap fighter. The Israelis tried to build a cheap fighter called the Lavi, and the U.S. government shut them down. And the reason they shut them down is because Israel could have been a major exporter of jet aircraft, a very lucrative job for the United States. So when you think about this $3 billion aid, it's really a payoff to stop Israel from competing with the U.S. And what happened is they chased Israel out of jet aircraft, and they chased them into drone technology and missile technology.
And Israelis have highly highly effective drone technology.
Right, and we're paying for that. We're paying for that because we have all these ineffective weapons, but in the back of the mind of some of the military planners, we need effective, cheap weapons. So our Israel is the R&D lab for that. A lot of the $3 billion aid is going for that, into that technological powerhouse. And also, you know, talk about people hoarding bullets, like all of these agencies are hoarding bullets. Well, if you think about the Vietnam War and you think about the Gulf War, these munitions, stored munitions, have a tremendous life. And we've seen surplus munitions from one war be used to fight the next war. So when they're getting all these bullets for all these police departments and what have you, that's adding to the depletable stock of munitions, which could be used in a later war. So the military budget isn't a small percentage of the GDP. It's not even what it's stated. It's at least $1 trillion a year when you think about it. And what I'm doing is, go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
What I'm doing is thinking about things in a parallax view, a different viewpoint, because you hear, I'm saying, okay, why are they doing this? Is this a possibility? Is this a contingency? And that's, these are posits. They're not necessarily facts. I'm not presenting you with a fact. I'm saying, what if this is how things are really arranged? And that's what analysis is, and that's what, you know, an intelligence service does.
And you understand why I let this whole clip play out is because I want you to understand that America is under the gun globally. And this man said, and this is what he gets paid for, to analyze the current environment to see what's over the horizon. And he says the nations are preparing for war. Everybody is preparing for war. Why? Why now? Because we, and why at the end of the grace period that was given? And why now at the end of the 6 days or the 6,000-year rule that was attributed to Adam? Why are all of these events mathematically lining up? If they were not divinely decreed, there would be some incongruity in their happening. But they're all happening perfectly on time and in time to make you see that prophecy is no longer what is to be, but it is now coming into being. You understand? How far down the rabbit hole does American and NATO terror operations go? These terror operations were felt by China in Hong Kong when American NATO tried to turn a revolution back. It didn't work. The Chinese wouldn't go for it. They were tried in Russia during the election of Vladimir Putin. They didn't work. They were tried in Iran. But you notice this man said something very, very sly. He talked about Japan. Even Japan is building up. We've been telling you that Abbott's coming for the longest. The messenger told us this, that Japan would build up her might of arms. And then when this war breaks off, Japan and the other Asian nations that are American allies, when they see what's coming on America, they're going to switch and they're going to jump in against America after a while. This is going to happen, brothers and sisters. We see it happen. Everywhere you go, you see war. That man said that America, she's having trouble everywhere, and she's trying her best, but she has outdated and obsolete weapons, and she was trying to check stop. I am, and there is none other. We've been telling you that also. But listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. America, in trying to hold her place as the greatest power among the nations of Earth, is one of the most troubled countries on Earth today. See, she's trying to hold a position. So you see John Kerry in Asia stoking tensions. She's trying to hold a position in Europe. So you see the false flag terror events in Europe. She's trying to hold a position in Africa. So you see Boko Haram, which is way more deadlier and has killed way more people than ISIS has, even though both of them are two sides of the same coin. Then you see them over in the Middle East trying to get the nation to agree with them against Russia and against Syria and against Iran. She is a troubled nation, right? This is clear. So we go back and he says, though in appearance, America seems steadfast. She is moving towards an ultimate end. This is what was all of what you see today is to show you that America is not that power that you once thought she was. She is not that nation to be feared, more so than God is to be feared. God is now on the scene and he is making her manifest. He's taking the clothes off of her, and as that white man just told you, the emperor has no clothes. So Muhammad says, though in appearance, America seems steadfast. She is moving towards an ultimate end. The word appearance, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means the way that someone or something looks, or a way of looking that is not true or real. The act of appearing, the fact that something or someone arrives or begins to be seen. Now, she deploys her aircraft carrier. She deploys her warplane. She builds up great pomp and great propaganda behind what she has. She wants the world to believe that she is, like Nebuchadnezzar said, I am, and there is none other, right? This is America. I am the world's only superpower. We are the exceptional nation, right? We have no military rival. We are the richest nation on earth. That's Nebuchadnezzar talking. Right? All right, look. So Father says, though in appearance, meaning she looks that way, but the definition says, a way of looking that is not true or real. So what it is a facade, an illusion, a cloak, a veil to hide behind. She's hiding behind what she used to be to try to frighten the nation. And this is what we're seeing happening. Can't you see it now? But Muhammad goes and says, one of the problems to be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negro. We have to be liberated. And how will we be liberated? First through knowledge, then through chastisement. Then once we submit, then God will fulfill the rest of his promise. It's laid out in prophecy, it's laid out in scripture, it's laid out in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we see everything that he said happening, and we can point to it in the books, we can play excerpts, we can show you in world events. Yet you still are a denier of this irrefutable truth. How is it so? Only a fool denies after knowledge. Only a fool denies plain truth. If you can prove that what we're saying is inconsistent with theology, if you can prove that what we're saying is inconsistent with prophecy, the word of God, and world events, and if you can prove that they have no bearing whatsoever on the rise and the deliverance of the Aboriginal black people, 347-989-0855. 347-989-0855. And we'll eat the Bible, the Holy Quran, and our hat with no salt. But if you can't, shouldn't you give it a little thought as to, you know, this stuff makes sense. Now, let me start looking more into this thing, because we see the fall of this white man's world and he can't even stop. So if the white man is telling you this thing, if he's saying to you that my world is crashing and burning and I'm doing everything, but everything that I'm doing is not enough, then there has to be a power greater than the so-called superpower that is bringing the superpower to its knees, right? This is common sense. Well, that power is on the scene today. And the Christians call him Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. The Orthodox Muslims call him the great Mahdi. We know him as Master Farad Muhammad, the great God Allah, in person. He is making his word be stand. And for those of you who can see it, who can understand it, it is beautiful in your eyesight, isn't it? I know it is. Because to be blind all your life and not understand what's taking place is something. And then to awaken to something so marvelous, you can't help but have joy in your heart. Look, this thing says 10 minutes. If we don't go off the air in 10 minutes, if we need an extra 10 minutes, I'm asking you right now to give me an extra 10 minutes. Brothers and sisters, it is something to come before you and to be able to prove these teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me get into another clip. This is a short clip. This is 34 seconds. This is about Boko Haram. So listen closely here.
At least 15 people have been killed in twin explosions in northern Nigeria. More than 50 were also injured as two women blew themselves up in a busy market in the city of Kano. The incident follows Tuesday's deadly bomb attack in the city of Yola that left at least 32 people dead and 80 injured. No group has claimed responsibility for the bombings, but officials often blame Boko Haram terrorists for such attacks. The terror group has been behind many deadly shootings and bombings in Nigeria since 2009.
Now, I want to ask you something. Why did the world mourn for France, but no tears were shed in Nigeria? And let us remember this now. When Jonathan Goodluck was the president right before he lost the elections recently, was the president, he asked America for help on these terrorist organizations. America had proclaimed that she knew where they were, how to get to them, and what their next step was, and she refused to give them the intelligence on it. And it took hundreds of lives. And in the scheme, well, why would she do that unless she benefits from the terror? Let me tell you why. Remember, this is Africa now. This is the part of that spectrum that you see going on in the Middle East. It's because a lot of the nations like Kenya, Nigeria, they are now big traders with China. They're big traders with Russia. They have become African trade zones for Chinese goods and Russian goods, and they have partnered in technology and infrastructure, and also they are trading in yuan. They've become the hub of Africa's trading in the yuan. Of course. If you are threatening the dollar, America makes these organizations and pushes them out there to destabilize. She's riding for her. She's winning wildly, and she's trying to keep her life going. She's a parasite. And if the nations that she sucked the life out of no longer want the mosquito on them and they flick it off, of course the mosquito is going to fight like hell for the blood, because the blood is in life. And so Nigeria and other nations like that, they are now turning east. Remember, go look at the Hiram, brothers and sisters, I don't know how many times I have to say, go read the Hiram 1555 blog. The articles, sometimes we make notes on articles that come out in news just to give you an insight of what these articles are really saying, or just to give you an insight of what this means to you. This is prophecy unfolding right in front of you. And if you don't recognize this, you are surely lost. Look at this next clip. Now, remember, now we're going fast because I know the time is limited. And remember, all of the NATO nations went into austerity. All of the NATO nations had to justify cutting the budgets for the poor and for education, right? And the people rose up. They're still demonstrating in London and in Paris about these things, in Italy and all the rest of these places. So NATO had to put constraints on their military budget. Well, this frees them up now to put more money, which they were going to do anyhow, into their military budget. Now I want you to listen to this. This is 2 minutes, then we have another 2 minutes, then we have a 3 minutes. So I want you to listen closely to this.
UK's Prime Minister David Cameron has said there will be a step change in the battle against Daesh by announcing the biggest security increase the country has witnessed in several years.
When you're dealing with radicalised European Muslims linked to ISIL in Syria and inspired by a poisonous narrative of extremism, you need an approach that covers the full spectrum: military power, counter-terrorism expertise, and defeating the poisonous narrative that is the root cause of this evil.
Britain says nearly 2,000 extra officers will be recruited to its MI5 and MI6 spy agencies, as well as GCHQ eavesdropping agency, as part of a broader defence and security review. Now, the 15% increase is said to be the largest since 7th July's deadly bombings in London in 2005. It has been estimated that Britain currently spends around £2 billion a year on the three services. In addition to this, the UK is also planning to double the amount it spends checking security at foreign airports.
Arguably, just increasing the number of resources is not going to help the situation in a proportionate way without having the correct systems in place, the correct informants, the correct people making the right decisions about where and against whom these resources that already exist should be targeted.
Experts have warned that increased surveillance will lead to more intrusion and alienation amongst communities that already feel targeted. In the current climate, that largely means the Muslim community.
Increasing more spies, that doesn't actually deal with the issue that we've got in this country. So if you look at radicalization, look at terrorism, spying on Muslims isn't going to solve the problem. If anything, it creates less trust and it marginalizes Muslims even more. And so really, it's just Cameron grandstanding to look like he's trying to solve the problem, he's trying to do something about it, but really he's not looking at the root causes and only making things worse.
The effectiveness and the consequences of this strategy will remain to be seen. In the meantime, the new funding proposal will be officially published next week. Faiza Ahmed, Press TV, London.
Now, I want to make an announcement also for the, tomorrow is Friday. We'll have shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday. Even if some of them are they're replays or whatever, you want to check them out, you want to come the same time and listen to them, because I'm doing this for a specific reason. So when we do the other show next week, you'll have an understanding of what we're talking about. Sometimes people don't catch on as fast as other ones. So what we're going to try to do is give you a head start on what we're trying to show you. Now let's go to something else. And remember, all of this comes courtesy of America and NATO, because they needed, especially when Russia demonstrated its military capacity by shooting those cruise missiles from the Caspian Sea all the way over to Syria. This shook the foundations of Brussels and shook the foundations of Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon. So they're desperate. They have to come up with something so that they can pour more money into the war budgets, right? Isn't that something? Listen to this right here.
A day of intense activity in France and of possibly historic proportions. Police have now conducted more than 300 raids. Related arrests were made in Belgium, and at least two suspects remain at large. A policeman in Paris shot someone who reportedly refused to follow his orders, and numerous false alarms reflect the anxious atmosphere. After months of being criticized for not doing enough, France has intensified its bombings of ISIL and is now coordinating with Russia. The terror attacks may have motivated France and the U.S. to finally control their factions in Syria. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said, quote, "We're weeks away conceivably from the possibility of a big transition for Syria, and I don't think enough people necessarily notice that, but that's the reality." In a historic first, France has invoked an obscure EU treaty clause which triggers mutual defense among the 28 member states. The request was approved by EU ministers, and France will begin bilateral negotiations. It's unclear what level of assistance states will provide. French officials said they do not want to invoke NATO's mutual defense clause. President François Hollande has finally kept his campaign promise of breaking with austerity. France will finally ignore the EU's rule on fiscal deficits in order to increase military spending. The list of Islamophobic acts has reached double digits. Mosques have been desecrated and stores vandalized. One man was beaten by a far-right gang and another was shot. Following the Charlie Hebdo attacks, anti-Muslim xenophobia has become openly acceptable, and it will now take major efforts to reverse course.
It will get worse because some people are very judgmental. They can't tolerate even minor differences, and they prefer to paint everyone with the same brush. This is not going to make our integration any easier.
National unity should not be taken for granted. France's prime minister was booed in parliament, which will clear its agenda for the next 10 days to discuss new measures, including changing the constitution. Is France ready to address the foreign and domestic policy choices which have attracted so much anger and generated so much despair? The nation's appetite for positive change is hard to determine amid the shock and fear. Ramin Mazahari, Press TV, Paris.
Now, something that was very important that went under the radar on this little interview, this guy said maybe this is enough to push France and those other nations to control their little factions in Syria. Well, if they have factions in Syria and they control them, and these factions bomb France, who's responsible for it? Huh? Do you see this? This is what we're trying to get over to you. But they say xenophobia and Islamophobia is growing in Europe. Why? Because this is the time for it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad prophesied that this is when the East and the West clash. He didn't prophesy it. He stated it. There's nothing else to prophesy of. He stated it, that this is the war of Armageddon. And they know it. So what they're trying to do is demonize Islam. But like we say, you have to go to the root of it. Who overthrows the governments and installs puppets in the Middle East? Who robs the resources of the people of the Middle East and North Africa? Who destabilizes the government? Who sanctions the nations? Who robs and pillages everywhere? Who bombs under the cover of the UN, which they dominate? Not one aboriginal nation sits on the United Nations Security Council outside of China, that grafted nation. You don't see. Now, look here. You have France. You have America. You have England. You have Russia. You have four white nations, three of which reside in Europe. And Europe has the smallest population of people out of the continent. No representation for Africa. Little to no representation for the Middle East and Central Asia. No representation for Central and South America and the Caribbean. Only the representation of those for whom it was set up by, for, and that is the Caucasian, to dominate global, international, and even sovereign nation affairs. Therefore, they use every trick of the book. You hear, friends, we're not going to invoke NATO's defense clause. We're going to invoke the European Union's defense clause. But who complies with NATO? Huh? Well, when you bombed Libya, shouldn't Gaddafi have been able to do the same with his African brothers? But you told the African brothers, if they get involved, you would sanction them and kill them. How far down the rabbit hole does American and NATO terror operations go? You see, we're going deep down this rabbit hole. And listen to this, what this white guy says about about David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, and their true intentions and with the Daesh. Listen.
Prime Minister Cameron's reaction is the most extraordinary, lying, incompetence imaginable. Daesh, ISIS, is being pushed and promoted by very clear forces. Number one, the self-righteousness, the throat-slitting, the Takfiri arrogance is a direct result of the promotion by Saudi Arabia with billions and billions, as they are actually paying the Daesh armies. And Cameron is hand in glove with the most sickening, corrupt, barbaric, medieval regime in the world, which is behind Daesh. How dare Cameron talk about stopping plots against by ISIS when he himself is promoting and forwarding the forces behind ISIS. Number two, Turkey is letting the Daesh in and has been doing for a long time, and we're doing nothing about that. Number three, the Israelis. The Israelis want total war in the Middle East, and they want Daesh in Syria. They will then have an excuse to atom bomb Syria and then occupy it, because you see, behind Zionism is the desire to take over Syria. Only last week, the Israelis were asking the Americans for permission to annex the Golan Heights, because the Golan Heights were part of biblical Israel. And all the time, Prime Minister Cameron refuses to address who is behind ISIS and who's pushing it. Number one now is Saudi Arabia. Number two is Syria. Number three are the United, the Gulf autocracies, including Bahrain. So Cameron ought to be ashamed of himself. All he's doing is trying to patch up the causes of something which he, by his policies and by his government, is actually doing at this moment. And I would remind you that Cameron's government only last week was digging a few spadefuls of earth in Bahrain, which is occupied by Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Israel, supported by my government and by the American government, is right behind Daesh. And until we stand up and say unequivocally that we will overthrow Saudi Arabia, and if that is not done, Saudi Arabia will use its money and its wealth to promote something which will smash Europe, may even yet create a world war. Thank God we've got some clear thinking from Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, and the Syrian Assad government. They're standing up unequivocally against Daesh. The British government is muddled, lying hypocrisy and incompetence.
You hear that? He just spilled the beans. It's the Gulf states, Turkey, Israel, America, and Great Britain who are behind Daesh or ISIL or ISIS. So if they bombed Paris, France, then France, when she said she's declaring war, then she should declare it on the perpetrators or the controllers of the perpetrators, which is Great Britain, America, Israel, Turkey, and other nations, right? But yet they continue to put Syria in the mix when we know that it is controlled, created, and run by America, Israel, Great Britain, and NATO intelligence services. This is to give Islam a bad name, and this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the whole of the Western white civilization is opposed to Islam, the only true religion of God. Therefore, they, the devils, don't teach of Allah and Islam to us. This is what they won't teach. They only give you negative things about it. So we are at war now. This is a clash of civilizations, a war of the worlds. The old world, which is desperate, and we can see their desperation in their acts that they're carrying out terror on their own people. The desperation has reached unimaginable heights because they see the new world that was promised to come in, now merging in and smashing the foundation and the pillars of the old world. I say to you all, it's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I got one more clip for you, brothers and sisters. Please give me, this clip is about 5 minutes and 10 seconds. Please give me 6 minutes or more of your time, okay? That's all I'm asking. I just want to complete this out so that you can understand. This is by Mr. Randy Short in his interview about what took place in Paris, France, okay?
In regards to the CIA director announcing yesterday that they were fully aware that Daesh or ISIS or ISIL, whatever new name they're going to come up with, this group that is basically a bastard stepchild of Al-Qaeda and other foreign intrigues by the secret service of the Israelis, British, French, Turks, and others. It's, again, not surprising. I want to remind anyone listening that there was a thing, an operation called Operation Gladio that ran from the late 1940s all the way into the 80s until it was exposed, where the United States and NATO partners deliberately had covert operations to kill, terrorize, maim, and frighten the citizens of Central, West, Southern, and Northern Europe into being willing to vote away their rights in order to be protected from communist or nationalistic terrorism. This event in Paris is very reminiscent of attacks made on airports in Italy and in other places. I just have real questions of believing that France, which has such an effective secret service, along with the other countries of Europe, that they can't track these people. They know the specific number of French nationals that are fighting, either stationed in Turkey or Syria. Why these people would be readmitted into the country, allowed to come in with weapons and arms and training, I don't buy it. And this looks like, in reality, what preceded this bombing? There was an advance in the European Union to label goods either produced or stolen from Palestinians in the occupied territories to let people know so they could boycott Israel. There were moves where Russia was fighting for Iran to be a partner in the discussions of what could be done to bring peace in Syria, as well an ultimatum that Assad did not have to be moved. In America, like what happened with the Charlie Hebdo false flag, which is what I think this was just the other day, you had African-Americans and others protesting racism and discrimination in the United States. And this bombing, which took the lives of so many innocent French people, although these numbers are far smaller than the numbers of Syrians, Lebanese, Iraqis, Libyans, Bahrainis, Yemenis, Pakistanis, Afghanis, Sudanese, and others who are dying as a result of America, France, Britain, Turkey, the Gulf Cooperation Council's maniacal wars to advance the state of Israel, as well as suppress, repress, and prevent true unity in the Muslim world, true Arab nationalism, true pan-African unity in terms of having a multipolar political and socioeconomic world. So the CIA will always either look the other way or be actively involved in these events. In fact, if you know something wrong is going to happen and you do nothing, you are complicit. And so, again, Operation Gladio 2.0, it's obvious. I do not believe that these ragtag new to the battlefield young people who are misguided and this false CIA, Mossad, MI6 version of perverted Islam know anything to do these kinds of coordinated attacks. This looks like a commando operation from professionals. Who knows more about assassination teams and commando squads than the French, British, the Americans, and Israelis? And please don't blame the Russians. It's really ridiculous. So ultimately, yes, I believe they knew in advance. And in fact, the president of France, François Hollande, has basically said they're working to have a law where people cannot talk about conspiracy theories because so many people can see holes in the official story. It just doesn't make sense. The only thing real is that innocent people, no matter what color or religion or where they are in the world, bleed real blood when they're victims of criminal hands of state players.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it something? This shows you the depth of how wicked these people are. They're willing to sacrifice unknown people just so they can push their point across to give more money to the spy agencies, to put more laws on the books, to persecute more wars, to try to feed the empire, to try to maintain white supremacy, and they'll do it at all costs, and they will deceive you. He's the deceiver. And then what that Bible calls him, the great or the arch deceiver. As a deceiver, as a liar, as a trickster, he has no equivalent on the planet Earth. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, that if he gains your confidence, ha, 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 brothers and sisters, I tell you, you will wind up being a loser. And on that note, as I go out, what comes to mind with this falsehood and this deception of this devil, I was looking down as Randy Short was talking, and just so happened, the fall of America was open to chapter 45. And so I believe that Allah wants me to read this short piece to you. The name of the title of the chapter is called America Hastens Her Own Doom. And this is what it reads like. The ultimate aim of this world should be known to everyone.
especially the righteous. We classify the righteous as being the people who belong to the right God, the God of righteousness, truth, freedom, justice, and equality of the nation